As you know by now, I'm a big proponent of CBD to tonify the endocannabinoid system. I've found that it helps people relax and can support restful sleep, a real breakthrough in herbal products. The CBD brand that I take personally and recommend to my patients is Plus CBD from CV Sciences, which is now proud to introduce a new innovation, Plus CBD Daily Balance THC-free. Daily Balance is a daily-use supplement that provides the benefits of CBD without the concern of other cannabinoids like THC causing unwanted effects. Daily Balance contains the purest form of hemp-derived CBD in high concentrations to help you overcome intense challenges to mental and physical well-being. All Plus CBD products are backed by science with clinically researched active ingredients. To learn more and to order, visit pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman30 for 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for Plus CBD's new Daily Balance THC-free line of oil, soft gels, and gummies.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. Thanks for downloading these podcasts. Dr. Hoffman and I really enjoy bringing these to you. If you read the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, I wrote an article recently about autoimmune disease because the increasing prevalence of autoimmunity and autoimmune diseases merits an urgent call to action for improved understanding, diagnosis, treatment, prevention. And this is from the Environmental Autoimmunity Group from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, National Institutes of Health. So, what is it? Autoimmunity can be considered as the presence of self-reactive adaptive immune components, and autoimmune diseases can be thought of as autoimmunity plus an apparent pathology, right? An illness. Now, they say, although proposals have been made regarding approaches to define autoimmunity and specific autoimmune diseases, there are still no commonly agreed upon general criteria for these. So, this lack of consensus in autoimmune disease definitions and even agreement on which specific illnesses constitute the autoimmune diseases can impede research and clinical care and the development of international stakeholder-defined consensus on these issues will greatly enhance further progress. Okay. Now, they say the precise mechanisms for the development of autoimmunity and autoimmune diseases remain unclear. However, a growing consensus has developed that they evolve from still to be defined gene and environmental interactions. So, and as a result of technological advances made possible by the Human Genome Project and other related investigations, many genetic risk factors for autoimmune diseases have been identified. But there has been relatively little progress in deciphering the even more profound impact of environmental influences. Right? And this isn't surprising given the difficult tasks of assessing the doses, the durations, the effects of the myriad combined environmental exposures that we experience over a lifetime and the complex impacts they have on our the function of our immune system, the maturation of our immune system. So studies have found increased frequencies of autoimmunity and autoimmune diseases over recent decades. Yet, there are many challenges in accurately assessing changes in the incidence and prevalence of autoimmunity and autoimmune diseases over time, right? So why am I bringing this to you today? Because according to The Lancet, autoimmune disease affects 1 in 10 people globally. It's now estimated to be growing at a rate of between 3-9% a year. So, now, while autoantibodies are not diagnostic for disease, they do define the presence of autoimmunity, right? Now, listen, they're like anti-nuclear antibodies, right? Autoantibodies, antibodies against self, found in blood tests, don't alone diagnose disease, but they do define the presence of autoimmunity. And some cases can develop temporarily after an infection, after a vaccine, an immunization, after drug use, or after an injury, which is interesting because these are the usual antecedents. When somebody walks into our office and they have an autoimmune disorder, condition, disease, we're always investigating what happened just prior to the development of their symptoms, of that presentation that then brought them to see us. However, in many cases, these autoantibodies, they're persistent, they're pathogenic, and the best predictors of full-blown autoimmune disease. Investigators have been concerned that autoantibody frequencies have been rising now for some time. Yet, most studies have not been population-based and so forth, and other possible flawed methodologies in trying to measure and collect this information. Now, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, the acronym is NHANES, is a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention program of studies begun in the 1960s designed to define the health and nutrition status of adults in the United States. The NHANES databases and repositories provide unique opportunities to assess the prevalence of autoimmunity over specific time periods in the U.S. population. One NHANES study showed that autoimmunity is common in the U.S. For example, thyroid autoantibodies alone were present in 18% of U.S. adults, including 10% of younger adults and 25% of older persons. Remarkably, 32% of adults 60 or older had at least one of the 4 autoantibodies studied: rheumatoid factor, which is most often associated with rheumatoid arthritis, antithyroglobulin or antithyroperoxidase autoantibodies, which are associated with autoimmune thyroid disease, like Hashimoto's, for example, or anti-tissue transglutaminase autoantibodies, which are associated with gluten-sensitive and celiac disease. So the presence of anti-nuclear antibodies, ANA, is a common marker of autoimmunity. And according to the NHANES data, in the year 1988 through 1991, ANA prevalence was 11%. Now, in the years 2011 to 2012, it increased to 16.1%. This represents 41.5 million individuals affected most recently, up from 22.3 million. And interestingly, the most impressive increase was in teenagers during these time periods, and increases were observed in both sexes. And again, the most common ones were against thyroid, rheumatoid factor, which is associated with rheumatoid arthritis, and then gluten sensitivity, celiac disease. And as you know, there are other autoimmune conditions, and some of these include lupus, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, Sjogren's, Graves' disease, which is another autoimmune thyroid disorder, scleroderma, and myasthenia gravis. So globally, the best studied autoimmune disease globally is type 1 diabetes, where investigators have found a consistent 3-4% annual increase in incidence over the last 3 decades. So they're trying to understand the causes. Family clusterings and recent molecular genomic advances clearly show the importance of genetic factors in the development of autoimmune disease. Nonetheless, most genes are neither good nor bad, but only their environments make them so. So, moreover, our genetic architecture, which has evolved over millennia to allow us to thrive in prior environments, may in many ways be ill-suited to our rapidly changing modern environmental challenges. The contemporary consensus is that in autoimmune disorders, there are numerous complementary yet intersecting reasons for considering that environmental influences play a critical role in the development of autoimmunity. Specific exposures and disease onsets. And a clear example would be when you remove the exposure or the agent, right? Let's say a food. It could be a pesticide or a particular herbicide in that food, or maybe even a food allergen where the body is overreacting. Maybe it's not the gluten, maybe it's the glyphosate it was sprayed with, for example. And you stop eating it and the symptoms go away, or the disease kind of ebbs back, and then a rechallenge, which means a recurrence after you start eating the gluten again, or you start eating that particular food that is possibly toxic, whether it's the food antigens themselves or anything they've been sprayed with, right? And especially for drugs, changes in incidence over time, even migration studies showing disease increases in groups that are moving from a low incidence to a high incidence region. Maybe groups of people moving to the inner city from a rural area, more exposure to air pollution, or to another area where there's more exposure to water pollution or something in the soil or they even move to a rural area, but they're next door to conventional farms, or their house is butted up right next to a golf course where they use a lot of, you know, stuff to maintain the lawn, including weed killer, right? So there are strong observational associations between exposures and certain diseases. And taken together, the growing evidence points to many environmental factors that are possibly related to the development of autoimmunity and autoimmune disease. Of the most concern are the major changes in our diets and the effect as a result on our microbiomes. Xenobiotic contact, which means, what does that mean, xenobiotic contact? Toxic exposures. Pesticides, herbicides, anything that isn't natural that you're exposed to, that you're reacting to. Infections. Personal lifestyles and obesity rates. Sleep deprivation. Yes, sleep deprivation. Stress, air pollution may all be contributing factors to these diseases. So there are ever increasing numbers and amounts of chemical pollutants in commercial use, and you know, so many, hundreds of them have never been tested, most of which have not been studied for their long-term immune effects, and some of which are associated with the development of autoimmunity. Remember the ad? Maybe you're not as old as I am. I'm 60 now. You know, a better life through chemistry, but I believe that commercial was on in the 1950s. I was not born yet. Anyway. Now, another concern is that the list of therapeutic drugs implicated in the development of lupus continues to grow, and that cases of autoimmune diseases following biologic agent treatments are also rapidly escalating. All those drug ads you're seeing, Humira, Imuran, those biologics, or other biologics, the MIBs and the MABs, as we call them, that cases of autoimmune diseases following these biologic treatments are also rapidly escalating, not just escalating. Increased foodborne, waterborne, vector-borne infectious diseases, heart disease, kidney, pregnancy complications, malnutrition, air and water pollution, toxic exposures, allergies, physical and mental stress, and compromised access to healthcare services. These are all well known. This is a lot of evidence. So there are profound implications regarding public health costs, the economy. You know, nevertheless, autoimmune diseases clearly cause much personal suffering, high illness, and death, and are a significant driver of healthcare utilization and costs. Direct costs in the United States have been estimated at over $100 billion per year, but this is likely a gross underestimate. Can you imagine? A study of Korean national databases has estimated direct medical costs of the more common autoimmune diseases as high and rapidly increasing. These estimates do not capture indirect costs, including lost productivity, lost incomes, the negative impact on patients' health, dependent care, families, and society in general. So what's the NIH doing? They found a number of gaps, limitations, and approaches. And their recommendation was the creation of an Office of Autoimmune Disease, which is where I'm bringing this to you from. Autoimmune disease / autoimmunity research within the Office of the National Institutes of Health Director to enhance research collaboration and coordination in this area. The committee also recommended the establishment of long-term systems to collect and ensure optimum usability of population-based surveillance, epidemiological data. And one tactic to increase understanding of the scope, epidemiology, and possible environmental risks would be to establish a central reportable system for autoimmune diseases, similar to the National Cancer Institute Surveillance Epidemiology and End Results, the acronym is SEER program, S-E-E-R program, which provides information on cancer statistics in the U.S. population. So these recommendations could certainly aid in achieving some of the many unmet needs in autoimmune disease research in the U.S., but an even more global approach is needed for the worldwide coordination and enhancement of studies and clinical care in this area. So, autoimmune disease have had a devastating personal and caregiver impact on our society, with significant healthcare utilization resulting in high public and private costs, yet current projections suggest they will become even more prominent disorders in the future. And this demands that we increase our attention and resources to coordinate and enhance our efforts in understanding their pathogenesis and risk factors, and to improve diagnostic, therapeutic, and preventive approaches. A most common concern, according to researchers, are the major changes to our food systems, diet, the effects on microbiomes, toxic exposures, unhealthy lifestyles and obesity, stress and air pollution, sleep deprivation. You don't hear much about this on the evening news because it's so chronic. But if humanity doesn't wake up and address this, we can expect to see more prevalent autoimmunity in our future. Think about this and think about what you could do. Control the controllables. What can you do in your immediate environment to lower your risk of any kind of autoimmune disease progression in your own life? I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's drhoffmanstore.com, drhoffmanstore.com.